comes out victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen. Let's go ahead and remain standing for a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we are thankful that we serve a risen Savior. We're thankful, Lord, that he is alive. Lord, that he finished the task that you sent him to do, and that was to be our Savior, to die upon the cross. And Lord, not to stay there, and Lord, not to stay in the tomb, but the Lord, according to the word, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And so, Lord, we are so thankful for that. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would have your hand upon the service, upon each and every one. Lord, draw us close to the Savior's side today. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that today they would come to know you before it's eternally too late. Guide and direct, we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The choir would like to sing a song entitled, We Shall See Jesus.
Yeah.
see him just as he is. Let's all stand, please. Turn to hymn number 74. Hymn number 74. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives. Hymn number 74. Join me on that first verse, if you would, please. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to next year, greet him with the right hand of fellowship as the choir comes down this morning. Second verse, hymn number 74. Hymn number 74, as the kids get ready to sing. Join me on that chorus. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. That last verse. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him. The help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. All God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This time, the young people from Junior Church would like to sing a song that they sing back there, Alive, Alive.
Thank you.
They're excited about that song. Amen. I'm glad he's alive this morning. I'm glad our Savior lives. Amen. Okay, watch your step, kids. All right, at this time, we're going to have just a few announcements. Let me remind you about a few things going on. I hope you've been in prayer about a resurrection offering we're going to be taking in just a few minutes, and we're going to be trying to raise some extra funds to help out with the new furnace that we put in next door. If you have some extra time and labor, we're going to be hanging drywall over there this week. It arrives on Tuesday, so keep that in your prayers if you would please. And then also, I would like to remind you about the Ladies' Fellowship, which is going to be April 12th at Jamie Kozak's home, and make sure you put that on your schedule. I'd like to have you remember to pray for a few folks, if you would please. Pray for Alexis Martsky. She had a beautiful little baby girl, 8 pounds, 15 ounces, and everybody is doing well. And its name is Holland Grace, correct? The baby's name. And so we're thankful that her and the baby's doing well. And then also, I'd like to have you also to keep in prayer a few other individuals. I'll pray for a number of families. We got about 6 families that are traveling today, some in North Carolina, some just out and about. So keep them in your prayers as they travel. And then I think that's it. Oh, I'd like to have you remember to pray for a special family, if you would. This past week, there was a young girl that was killed in an automobile accident out here on 163. And although I didn't know the family, God does. And God knows the family. And I'd like to have you remember to pray for them. And, you know, we need to make good and godly decisions all the time in our life. And sometimes when we make a poor decision, it comes back and it causes a lot of hurt. But, you know, God is greater than all of our hurt. And I'm thankful for that. So if you would, just remember to pray for the family. There was I think the mother's name was Gretchen, and I don't remember what the last name was, but you keep them in your prayers, if you would, please. And I know the Lord will bless you for that. Let's have our ushers come at this time. We're going to receive our offering for this morning. And we'd encourage you to give to the Lord. The Lord has been so good to us. He gives to us not only forgiveness and salvation, He gives us health, and He gives us wisdom, and He gives us guidance, and He gives us protection. It's the least that we can do to give back to God. Amen. The Apostle Paul talked about it being our reasonable service in Romans chapter 12. And as we give today, I hope and pray that you'll look at not only what we have to give, but Lord, but maybe give to the Lord ourselves, and give Him our hearts, and give Him our talents, not just our treasures. But let's go ahead and let's bow forward to prayer as we take up our offering this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we're thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, for the salvation you provided for us. Lord, for your goodness, for your safety. Lord, for your protection that you granted to each and every one of us. Lord, for just the help that you give us day by day. Lord, we are so thankful. But Lord, most of all, as we think about this day, we're thankful, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. We're thankful, Lord, that you died for us because you loved us and cared about us. And we're willing to pay the price for our sin. But Lord, I'm glad it didn't end there. But 3 days later, a whole new chapter opened up. And Lord, all the sin has been left behind. And now we have nothing but a new life to look forward to. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless in a great way. Bless the offering now. Bless the gift and the giver. Bless it to abundance, that we might be able to do more for you in this place and around the world. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Down the Via Dolorosa, beautiful song. I'd like to mention a couple of things. The bus kids raised a special offering for January, February, and March, $22.29. Let's give them a hand, all right? Okay. They give it to me in a Cool Whip container, so thankful for that. Also, pray for Ruth Millison and the family. Ruth's sister, Margaret Thomas, passed away this past week, a few days ago. And just keep her in your prayers, if you would, please. And I know that God will bless you for that. Just pray for her and the family. Let's take our hymnal, please, and turn to hymn number 84. Hymn number 84, let's all stand together, please. Hymn number 84, One Day. This song actually gives a story about the life of Jesus Christ. And it's a great song, it really is. So let's go ahead and let's sing Psalm or hymn number 84. We'll sing all five verses this morning.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, my example is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sin far away, rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain, one day they nailed Him to die on the tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, Redeemer is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day they left Him alone in the garden. One day He rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er His tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me. Buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose over death He had conquered. Now is ascended my Lord evermore. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day.
And one day He is going to come again. Thank the Lord for that. God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we've got an ensemble to come and sing for us. There Arose a Lamb.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Christ did arise from the dead. Amen. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 27 this morning. Matthew, chapter number 27. Good to see each and every one of you out today for our service. I want you to notice Matthew chapter number 27. We're going to begin in verse number 62. Let me give you a context to this passage. Jesus Christ had just been crucified. God sent him into this world, the sinless Son of God, to live a sinless life, to walk upon the face of the earth for about 33 and a half years. The last 3.5 years of his life, he invested primarily in the lives of 12 men. Now, after 33 and a half years, Jesus Christ has been rejected and mocked, betrayed, and now crucified. Jesus bowed his head upon the cross and said, "It is finished." He gave up the ghost. And then the Bible says in verse number 22, or verse number 62, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive.'" They just called Christ a deceiver. I want you to notice that. They said when that deceiver was alive, he said that after 3 days I will rise again. "Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' so that the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch, go your way." And I want you to notice the last part of this phrase. Pilate said, "You have your watch, go your way." And then he said, "Make it as sure as you can." And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Lord, I do ask and pray that you'd speak to every heart that's here today. Lord, as we consider and contemplate the fact of the futile attempts of man to try to spoil the plan of God, help us, Lord, today to realize that you are all-wise and all-powerful and your way will be accomplished. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that's lost, I pray, Lord, that they would see the need of trusting Christ today. Help them to realize that Jesus Christ loved them and went to the cross of Calvary and bled and died for them and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures so that they might have hope and they might have salvation. We ask and pray, Lord, now that you'd bless in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. Since the beginning of time, God had a plan. Before he ever spoke the worlds into existence or formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, God knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that man that he had created in this perfect environment was going to sin. He knew that he was going to reject him, and he knew that he was going to need a Savior. In Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 and 5, it says, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." You see, God had a plan before the world was ever existed, before the world was ever created. God knew what he was going to do. It was his plan to redeem man from the awfulness of sin. It was His plan to forgive him, to save him, and to transform him. In this context, we see that Jesus had lived for 33 years on the earth. He had healed the sick, those that were maimed, He made whole. Those that were blind, He made to see. Every time He came in contact with a dead person, they came back to life. They rose again from the dead. And yet now, Jesus Christ is rejected of men. He has been lied about. He has been beaten. He has been spit upon. They platted a crown of thorns upon Him. He was unjustly charged and condemned to death. And now He is dead and He is ready to be buried. And they're still afraid of Him. They said, you know, we need to make sure that the tomb is secure because He said one day He's going to rise from the dead. 3 days He's going to raise up from the dead. We need to make sure that nobody comes by and steals the grave and steals Him from the grave and say that He did rise. The religious leaders came to Pilate and they requested that the tomb would be made sure because of Jesus' proclamation, in 3 days I'm going to raise from the dead. And Pilate made this response, you make it as sure as you can. This morning I want you to notice several things about this passage of Scripture. Number one, I want you to notice the futile attempts of man to thwart the plan of God. It never works. Down through the ages, people have tried to stop God. And God had a plan and God had a purpose and they said, you know what, we're going to do all that we can to try to stop God in His plan. This was the case here. In verse number 66, they made the sepulcher sure. The sepulcher was a cave that they had hollowed out of stone. In front of the cave, they had a large round stone, almost like a millstone that they use at a grinder. And they actually carved it out of the stone, and it was actually carved in a track. The tomb actually is there today. It's referred to as Gordon's tomb. And it's a little bit up on the hillside. And the stone is knocked over. And there's actually a track built for that stone, that round stone, to roll into place. That stone was massive. They made the sepulcher sure. A massive stone was rolled in front of the tomb. In Mark chapter 16 and verse number 4, the Bible says that the stone was very great. And when the women went to the sepulcher, they said, who's going to roll the stone away for us that we might be able to anoint the body of Jesus? And of course, when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. I want you to notice the futile attempts of man to thwart the plan of God. They made the sepulcher sure like that was going to make a difference. They also, the Bible says here that they not only made it sure, it says setting a seal or sealing the stone. Now, the custom of the day would be they would take hot wax, and after the stone was rolled in place, they would take hot wax and pour all over the stone, and they'd actually seal that. And then they would take the Roman seal and they would press it into the hot wax. And anybody passing by would see that seal and they would say, I cannot break that seal. Because if I break that seal, I am under the penalty of Rome and I will have to die if I break that seal. And so they sealed it. They put the Roman seal on it. No one is allowed to break it. Let me remind you that the laws of God is always greater than the laws of man. And it doesn't make any difference what Washington, D.C. says or what Moscow says or what some Osama bin Laden might say or one of those guys that are over there on the other side of the world may say, and they might pass laws, but I'm here to tell you this.
God's law is always greater than man's law. And man's law said Jesus is not allowed to come out of the tomb. No one is allowed to break this seal. But listen, on the third day, he came out anyway. And we need to realize today that they sealed it. What a futile attempt to try to stop God's plan. And then they set a watch. They could have gathered all the Roman soldiers from the whole Roman Empire around that tomb and it wouldn't have made any difference. They could have went ahead and got all of the armies from around the world and set a watch there to make sure that that stone was not rolled away. But listen, when the third day was up, Jesus Christ came out of the grave regardless of the watch that they set. I want you to notice that it is a futile attempt for man to try to stop or to thwart the plan of God, because God is going to have his way anyway. I want you to notice what it says in verse 62 and 63 of this passage of Scripture. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Verse 63, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 3 days, I will rise again." I want you to notice, regardless of what man may say, regardless of the blasphemy, and regardless of the unbelief that man may have, it is not going to stop the plan of God. The religious leaders got together that day. And they said, you know what? This deceiver, this person said he was going to rise again. We need to stop this. We need to make sure that this doesn't happen. The world can mock. And the world can make fun. The world can even deny. They can go to the extent of cursing their Creator. But I'm here to tell you, it will not stop the plan of God. Satan had a plan. He said, one day as he was in heaven, as Lucifer, he says, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to rise up and sit upon the sides of the north in the congregation. Everybody's going to fall down and worship me. He says, I'm going to be just like God. It doesn't make any difference of what your plans are. Regardless of what plans Satan had, he was never going to be like God. He was a created being. Satan had this idea. Well, I'm fallen. Now God has got this man. I'm going to get man to sin. And I'm going to stop the plan of God. And I'm going to get man to sin and get the woman to sin. And he was victorious. He got Adam and Eve to sin. But he thought that was going to stop the plan of God. But God already had it planned. God had it planned that he was going to go ahead and send a Savior into this world to be a Savior for Adam and Eve as well as you and I. Man had a plan. Man had a plan to kill all the baby children under the age of 2 years old. And when the Christ child was born and Herod heard of it, he was afraid. And he thought, oh no, I'm going to have competition. And so he sent and he destroyed all the children from 2 years old and under in that whole region. Man may have a plan, but all of man's plans cannot change the plan of God. I want you to notice the third thing. Look at verse 66. I want you to notice the futile attempts to change the plan of God, it doesn't work. All the blasphemy, all the unbelief, it doesn't change the plan of God. You may say, well, you know what? I'm not going to believe. I refuse to believe. That isn't going to change God's plan. It's not going to change God's plan one bit. God has made a way of salvation for you and for me. And he's also got a plan for those individuals who reject Jesus Christ. It says, and the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. It says, and these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. God's got a plan. I hope you get on board with it. Because even your unbelief is not going to change God. I want you to notice also that all of man's labor cannot change God. All of man's labor cannot change God. A massive stone was placed in front of the tomb. Doing some research, this stone was probably 8 to 10 inches thick, 5 to 6 foot high, in weight of several thousand pounds. It was actually in a track that rolled down, and so you would have to actually almost lift this stone out of the way in order to get it out of the way. It was not going to be an easy task. That's why when the women went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus Christ after it died, they were worried, how in the world are we going to get in there? The stone is very great. I looked it up in the Greek to find out what the words very great meant. This is what it meant. Very great. That's what it meant. I mean, it was a huge stone. It weighed a lot. A normal individual could not move that. And all of man's labor cannot alter the plans of God. The Romans put their seal on it, and it was not going to change the plan of God. They posted Roman guards, and it was not going to change the plan of God. You know, people have this idea, well, you know what? If I do something, if I run far enough away, and if I get far enough away from God, I'll go ahead and stop the plan of God for my life. No, you're not. Jonah tried to run from God, and God hunted him down. You cannot run from God. There was a man by the name of Jehoiakim. And King Jehoiakim decided, you know what, I don't like the Word of God. I don't like the plan of God. So he sat in his summer house, according to Jeremiah chapter number 36, and he pulled out his pocket knife, and he had Barak the scribe begin to read the Word of God to him. And every time he found a place he didn't like, he took his penknife and he started cutting it out, and he threw it in the fire and burned it up. And he said, you know what, I'm not going to let the Word of God dictate to me how I'm going to live and how I'm going to rule as a king. So he took the Word of God and he burned up all of it that he could, according to Jeremiah chapter number 36. He said, you know what, if I burn the Word of God, if I do away with the Word of God in my life, I'm not going to have to be accountable for it. You know what God did? He sent Jeremiah to write the book all over again. And the Bible says he added words to that, more words. You see, we cannot change the plan of God. And regardless of how much labor we put into it, and regardless of how hard we work, it's not going to change the plan of God. We find that the prophets of Baal were around an altar, and there was a contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and the prophet that was the God that was God was going to be the one that answered by fire. And those prophets of Baal, they made the altar and they put the wood there, and they went around the altar, and all day long they screamed and they hollered and they cut themselves and they jumped up and down, and no answer by fire. All of human effort could not bring the fire of God down upon the altar. But God had a plan. The plan was to use the prophet Elijah. And the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter number 18 prayed a prayer of 63 words, and the fire of God fell. It consumed the sacrifice, consumed the water that was around the sacrifice, consumed the wood, and even consumed the stones that were there. You know why? It was the plan of God. Regardless of how hard we work and regardless of how sincere we are, I'm sure that as those prophets of Baal, they were cutting themselves and jumping up and down, and they were screaming and hollering and going into convulsions, they were probably pretty sincere. But just because you're sincere doesn't mean you're right. And I want you to understand that all of man's labor cannot stop the plan of God. all that they did was not going to stop our Lord and what He was going to do. God has a plan, and God has got a purpose for each and every one of us for eternity. And God's plan has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. And both Old Testament and New Testament, God has revealed Jesus Christ to mankind. In Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 3, He is revealed to us as the light that came into the world. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, He is described as the seed of the woman. In Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 8, He is described as the innocent Abel that was slain without cause. Jesus Christ was revealed as that ark of safety that preserved Noah and his family, according to Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 14. He was that substitutionary sacrifice that was offered in the stead of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. He was the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 13, that the blood was put upon the doorposts and above the lintel. He was the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that guided and directed Israel as they took their wilderness wanderings. He was that manna from heaven that fed them. He was the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant that guided them. He was the good shepherd that David described in Psalm 23. He proclaimed to be the bread of life, John 6:35. He said that He was the door of salvation, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, He is my Savior. He is my salvation, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. He is all wise, and He is all powerful, and He is omniscient, and He is omnipresent. And God's plan will be fulfilled, regardless of what any of us want to do. God's plan will be fulfilled. Amen. And the world can post their watches. They can go ahead and labor all they want. They can go ahead and say, "Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead," but it does not change the fact that He has risen today. Amen? Amen. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, in Matthew chapter number 28, they set their watch. They secured the tomb. They sealed that stone. But in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. By the way, that's why we come together on Sunday, the first day of the week. It's to commemorate the fact that we serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Listen. The Bible says here that as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. I want you to notice some things that God gave the people of this world. Some unbelieving, some seeking, some that were believers. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 2, what God gave this Christ-rejecting world. God gave them an earthquake to shake them up. People ask the question, "Preacher, what in the world is this world coming to?" I'll tell you what it's coming to. It's coming to a great shaking. And God is going to shake this world up once again. And we better be prepared. We better not be asleep. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." I want you to notice what God gave them. God gave them a great earthquake. You say, why? In order to wake everybody up. He didn't have to create an earthquake, but He did. Did you notice what time of day it was? As it began to dawn. Now, personally, I like getting up early in the morning. I like watching the sun come up. You say, you're a sick individual. Well, some people think that. I know, other people, they like to watch the sun come up as it, goes through their bedroom window. And as long as the bedroom window is on the west side of the house, they're good. All right? And, you know, they prefer to get up at noon or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's all good and fine for them. But, you know, I like to get up early in the morning. And I like to be here at the church. I do my studying. I do my reading early in the morning. Sometimes it's 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning. If you drive by, you'll see my car here. Because I like to be here. And I like to be here early. And even when I don't have to be, my wife can testify to the fact I'm up early, and I like to be here at church. But most people are sleeping during that time of the day. And during that time of the day, when the sun is starting to break, they're fast asleep. And as it began to dawn, the sun had not come up. In the morning, before it begins, the sun begins to come up. You notice there's a little hue in the sky. It just starts getting a little bit lighter. In about a half an hour, it gets a little bit lighter, and you can see just a little shimmer of a sun starting to poke up. But well before the sun ever come up, God sent an earthquake to wake the people up. Why? Something great had just happened. Something that had never happened before. Our salvation was complete and it was justified and it was sealed. Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. God gave them an angel. Not just an earthquake. He gave them an angel to roll back the stone. You say, why did he give him why did he roll back the stone? Was that to let Jesus Christ out? No. There wasn't any stone that was going to hold him back. He created the stone. He created the cross of which he was crucified on. He created the tomb in which he was buried in. They didn't have to go ahead and roll back the stone to let him out. They rolled back the stone so you and I can look in that he's not there. Amen. That's why they rolled back the stone. He rolled back the stone to allow the unbelieving world to peer in. Those religious leaders that said, we need to guard the tomb and we need to seal the tomb. We need to forbid Jesus ever to come out of there. Didn't make any difference what their plan was. God had a greater plan. And his plan was, after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, Jesus Christ was going to come out of the grave. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter number 12. Take your Bible and turn there if you would. I want you to see something. In Matthew chapter 12, look at verse number 40. The Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, I want you to show us a sign. He said, an adulterous and an evil generation seeketh after a sign, but unto them shall no sign be given, but that which is of the prophet of Jonas. It says in verse 40, for as Jonas was, notice this, 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now that's a little perplexing for some people because a lot of people can't count. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 9 says that Jesus Christ rose from the dead early the first day of the week. That is Sunday. So therefore, and by the way, the Hebrew calendar was divided up into two sections. Genesis chapter number 1 tells us that. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And the evening and the morning was the second day. And the evening and the morning was the third day. And he divides the day up. The Jewish calendar runs from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. So you have the evening first, and then you have the morning. So if you count back, Jesus Christ was crucified. He was on the cross from noon until 3 o'clock. It was darkness over the whole face of the earth. Jesus Christ died somewhere right around 3 o'clock, a little bit after, and he was taken off the tomb. And he was taken off the cross, put in the tomb before 6 p.m. No one could be allowed to be on the cross because it was a high Sabbath. It was the Passover. John chapter number 19 says it was a high day. In other words, it was not a typical Sabbath. It was the Passover. So if you count back, Saturday evening, Saturday morning. Friday evening, Friday morning. Thursday evening, Thursday morning. The Bible says that he was going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. That meant Jesus Christ was not crucified on Friday, as the world teaches. He was crucified on Wednesday afternoon. And yet the world talks about Good Friday, and then they have their Easter egg hunts on Good Saturday, I guess. All of that is unscriptural, unbiblical. I want you to notice the stone was rolled back to allow the unbelieving world to peer in. In verse number 4 of Matthew chapter number 28, "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men." I want you to notice what happened to the guards. The guards were keeping watch. All of a sudden, kabam, the angel of the Lord descended. The stone was rolled back. There was an earthquake. The angel was sitting upon on the top of the stone, the scripture says. Hey, you and I, we all would have been shaken in our boots. And God gave them fear. But what else did he give them? Look at verse 5 and 6. He gave them a message. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said." Look at the invitation. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You see the message? Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." You know what the message of the angel was? It was a message of hope. Too many times I've been to the cemetery, and a loved one has laid their loved one to the grave. And there was hopelessness and despair. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can walk away from that place with hope. You can walk away with joy in your heart, realizing that because Christ lives, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're going to live forever too. He says, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Notice the command in verse 7. He instructs the believers as to what to do. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." Too many people are shackled with fear and hopelessness. But when we see the risen Savior and we see the empty tomb, it brings hope, it brings comfort. And now we're to tell other people, we serve a risen Savior. And those people that you come in contact with today, I'd encourage you to say, "Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." Amen. We're to instruct believers what to do. You know, I think we get caught up on a lot of things that really don't make a whole lot of difference. You know what makes a difference? You know what makes a difference for me? And ought to make a difference for you. Jesus Christ died for us. That's what makes a difference. You know what makes a difference? Jesus Christ was buried according to the Scripture. And you know what really made a difference? He didn't stay there. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead according to the Scripture. Look at verse number 9 and 10 of this passage. Verse 8 says, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples word. And as they left, or as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. In John chapter number 21, we find that Jesus said three different times, he said to them, peace be unto you. God has a plan for all of us. It doesn't make any difference what your plan is. God's plan is greater than your plan. It doesn't make any difference if you want to submit to God's plan. God's plan is still going to be fulfilled. Because God is sovereign and God is in control and he's all wise and all powerful. He is everywhere, every place, all the time. God has a plan. It involves all of us. And it involves his son. And his son said this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It involves the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and forgiveness that he can give to you through his son. God loves you and I so much that he sent his son into this world to live a sinless life and to die a sinner's death. He shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary to pay the ransom demands of a holy and a righteous God. And now he invites all of us to come and receive the free gift of God through Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you received Christ? Have you trusted him as your Savior? I hope you have. Now you may say, well, you know, preacher, I've got my own plans. Then you make it as sure as you can. You make it as sure as you can. And you understand this. God's plan will always prevail. God's plan will always prevail. Jesus Christ is able to save all that come to him by faith. Would you come to him today and receive Christ by faith? Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed as the organ and the pianist come to play through a verse of invitation. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, may I remind you that God loves you. And he desires to forgive you and to cleanse you, to save you, and to transform you. And you may have your own plans, but God is greater than your plans. And your plans, you can make them as sure as you can. Just like they tried to do at the tomb. But it's not going to stop God. Because God will have his way. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask and pray that you'd help us. Guide us and direct us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the necessity of trusting you as our Savior. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that's unsure of their salvation, I pray, Lord, they get saved before it's eternally too late. I pray, Lord, you'd have your hand upon them. Guide them and direct them. And bring them to the cross, that they might know thee and the forgiveness that you offer. We ask it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed as the piano and the organ begins to play, we invite you to come this morning. Maybe it's just to gather around the altar and to pray. Maybe you've had a plan that didn't include God. Why don't you turn that plan over to God this morning? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you come today? Trust Him today as your Savior. Let's all stand to our feet, please. As the piano and the organ play, we invite you to come. Let God meet that need in your life. Would you come?
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. And make me free.
Let's bow our heads, please, as the organist and the piano play. This day marks the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. New life that He offers. He offers new life to you. I hope and pray that you'll receive that. So many times people think that they've got their own life all figured out, and their life is without God. If it's without God, it's without hope. It's without guidance, and it's without light. But Jesus Christ offers all the above. I hope and pray that you will trust Christ today. Father in heaven, Lord, we're thankful for the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And the world can make their plans as sure as they can, but it will never stop. It'll never thwart the plan of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize that you have a plan for us, and that includes salvation, forgiveness, healing, and transformation. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take this message to those that are around us. Help us, Lord, to take that message to a lost and dying world that Jesus Christ is risen. I pray, Lord, that you bring us back again tonight that we might learn more about thee and thy blessed book. Guide and direct, we ask it all in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Good to see you out today. Happy Resurrection Sunday.